Good morning. Good to have you all here today with us as we seek to worship God in spirit and in truth. And we're here today to talk about truth, as a matter of fact. I know in Bible class we talk about the things that compel us, the things that excite us, and the things we can't stop talking about. And of the things listed, of the things that people go on and on about, was politics. So I want to start the lesson just like this. There was a congressman who made national headlines one day when he got up in the chamber of the House. He said, half the congressmen in this chamber are liars and crooks. And everybody went crazy, and it made the news, and there was call for censure of him. And so I got up the very next day after all this hullabaloo and all these problems, and he was commanded really to fix what he said. So I got up and said, half the people in this chamber are not liars and crooks. And that about fits our modern politics. And by the way, if you're a congressman today and get up and say something like that, it will not make news, because that's kind of the norm right now, isn't it? But the idea of truth is something that goes all the way back to Jesus' day. If you were to remember when Jesus was before Pilate, the governor, the Roman governor of Judea at that time, in John 18, when Jesus was before him in this mock trial that we're aware of, in verse 36, Jesus said to Pilate, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. So verse 37, Pilate said to him, art thou king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest I'm king. To this end I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that hears my voice. And Paul says to him, what is truth? There is a documentary that's really made splashes, at least over the last couple months, by a man named Matt Walsh. And the documentary is called What is a Woman? Now, it's easy, available online, and it's actually, most of it's very, very good to watch. There are a couple of scenes that maybe you wouldn't want to watch, but he asks a question because of all the gender confusion in our world. And so he goes around asking questions of people, all kinds of people. Male, female, males that think they're female, females that think they're male. All kinds of people. People that have had gender reassignment surgeries, you know, where people are mutilating themselves to try and make themselves the opposite sex. It's a very simple question. He says, what is a woman? He goes to your man on the street. He goes to doctors. He goes to people with degrees in counseling. He goes to doctors who are in charge of these gender reassignment surgeries. They make lots of money on it. And his question, what is a woman? What is a woman? And they say, well, it's whatever you want it to be. And so he goes to a college professor and says, what is a woman? And they say, what do you mean? They said, in reality, in truth, he says, in truth, what's woman? And the professor at a major university said, I don't like your question. I don't like your tone. It sounds very aggressive to me. He said, listen, he goes, I came to university to ask a question for you to tell me, what is a woman? He says, whatever you want it to be. Then he says this. He says, well, what is that? Is there any objective reality as to we view our world? And we're in a time where there was a time when you might have heard the phrase, we're in a post-modern society, where truth is kind of relative a bit. I think we're in a post-modern society where truth is all up to what do you think? Our kids are being taught crazy things. Our kids are being taught that two and two is not does not equal four anymore. A woman's not a woman. A man's not a man. In fact, those things are almost indescribable. So when it comes to what we believe and teach, friends, I want to bring a lesson this morning on what is truth. I want to do it in a couple ways. I want to do it in the way of what is truth, number one. Number two, the value of truth. And number three, so you know where we're going, how we can know the truth. Now, first and foremost, we need to understand that Jesus Christ is the source of truth. He says in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said that. In John 1:14, it says, he was full of grace and truth. And grace and truth came by Jesus Christ, John 1:17. John tells us much about truth. And in Ephesians 4:21, the text says this, if so be that ye have heard him and been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus says, he's the way to the Father. He's the truth, and he is life. Now, you compare that with the devil. The devil, in John 8, chapter 8, verse 44, is the father of lies. He seeks to tell lies, and he seeks to help cause people to believe lies. Just as happened in the Garden of Eden long ago, long before this world was so damaged as it is today. When God said, don't eat of that fruit, of that certain tree, the devil came down and told a lie. The devil says, you can eat that fruit, you can eat it. So the devil told a lie. People heard a lie, believed a lie, obeyed the lie, and we got the world we have today. Now, on the other side, on the flip-flop of that, we have this understanding that the truth works the same way as a lie. Now, a lie, in the beginning, heard, believed, and obeyed, brought sin into the world and death by sin. But the truth, the same thing works only the opposite way, like polar ends of a magnet. The truth, heard, believed, and obeyed, brings life. Praise God for that. And Jesus is the source of that truth. Now, what can truth do? Truth can make us free. John 8, verse 32. John 8, 32 says, truth makes us free. Or how about John 17, 17, truth sanctifies us. We're sanctified by God's truth in John 17. Or how about the fact that we're purified by obeying the truth in 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Peter says, you're purified, you're made clean by obeying the truth. So truth is powerful. Power is in the gospel, which is, of course, truth, Romans 1:16. In fact, James puts it this way. I love how James puts it. He goes, you are begotten again by the truth. You're born again by God's truth. You're made clean. You're sanctified. You're made clean. You're set free. You're made a new creature by this truth. All these things, we see truth. It's so important. So we see then that we take these things and wrap them together in a nice little ball, we see a couple things. We see, number one, truth can be known. It's not a amorphous cloud that can't quite be grabbed onto like a greasy hog. We can't quite get our hands around. No, John says it can be known. John 8:32, and of course 1 Timothy 3:7. We can know God's truth. In fact, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, 1 John 2, 3 and 4 says, we can know that we know truth. Now, I want you to think about that. It's very powerful. He says, you can't just know truth. You can know that you know it. Now, you can't just assume truth. You can't just assume feelings. But John says, you can know that you know it. That's very powerful. It gives me confidence as a believer that if I study and I put things together, if I reason with the scripture, I can know truth. It's very powerful. We can even do the truth. In John chapter 3, verse 21, he says they can do the truth. So it takes this aspect of action. We can walk in truth, 2 John verse 4, or 3 John verse 3 and 4. John there writes, those who were walking in the truth. Now, keep in mind, we see in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7 through 9, that walking in truth doesn't mean being perfect. In this very, we need to encourage each other. We sometimes, as Christians, don't have the right attitude. We sometimes want to keep the world out of the church so much when it comes to people in the church. We act as if perfection is the thing we have to have. And if you sin at all, well, you're not as righteous as I am. We all sin. Fact is, we all have to have the attitude of humility so we can confess that sin and move forward with our lives and be better and better and better and better. Now, the other side is people act as if sin doesn't even exist. That's false. Again, sin's a violation of God's law, 1 John 3, 4. So we can do wrong, and that needs to be called out. But friends, we all can walk in Jesus and walk in truth. We just have to make sure that we are humble enough to confess our sins and try and do better as we go through this life. We can never walk like Jesus walked exactly, but friends, we can strive to do so. We can seek to put his kingdom first and love him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen? Amen? Thank you. Truth can be known, truth can be done, truth can be practiced. We can walk in truth. Now, what can we do with the truth? What can we do with this truth we have that God's given us through Jesus Christ? What can we obtain? How can we fashion it exactly? How can we fashion this truth? Now, first of all, there's a warning that we need to know that we can try and change truth. In fact, as we were talking about a moment ago with those who want to redefine what a man or a woman is, we can take the truth and kind of change it, or we can try to. Now, the truth itself doesn't change, but man tries to. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, verse 25, it talks about those who try and take the truth and change it into a lie. Or change the lie into the truth, however you want to say that. But those who take things that are created and try and make those things God and worship those things, they try and take God's truth and make it to a lie. That can happen. Romans 1:25, even Galatians 1:6 says the same thing. Galatians 1, verse 6 through 9 says, there are those who make a lie seem like the truth. So a man tries to play with truth sometimes. Now in 2 Timothy 3:8, you have Paul telling Timothy that truth can be resisted. That some actively resist the truth. That happens sometimes. People just want to reject it and not accept it because it's often inconvenient to see to follow the God's truth. Hurts us sometimes when you have to change. That's a challenge. We see that people can turn from the truth and turn away from it. In 2 Timothy 4:4, we see that there are those who, again, hear God's truth and turn away from it. And Paul says, some of you preach the word even when they don't want to hear it. You keep preaching God's holy truth. Because I tell you what, there have been times in my life I didn't want to hear God's truth. How about you? No amends there, but I tell you what, it's true. There are times all of us have heard something we know it's right. We just don't want to hear. We kind of turn our backs on it, at least for a while, because it's hurtful or something we don't want to admit to ourselves. People can also err concerning truth. In 2 Timothy 2:18, we see people can err when it comes to God's truth. They can do wrong things when it comes to truth. We can just ignore it and turn the wrong way, like we said before. And some will not believe God's truth. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, or verse 12 rather, we see some do not believe it, refuse to. And even more importantly, in that same chapter, verse 10, he says there are some people who will not love God's truth that they might be saved. Now the amazing thing about this subject, not only can we know it and do it, and mustn't turn from it, God says you have to love it. You have to love truth. But why should I love truth? Well, because Jesus Christ says he is the truth. And his law, his words of encouragement and salvation, his words of grace and mercy and even righteousness are things that we're not just to accept, we're to love it. And this is a problem in the church today, I think, that many of us, hopefully all of us here this morning, we accept God's truth as truth, but loving it sometimes hard. We accept Jesus as God's son, but to really love him, to be emotionally connected, is sometimes hard. My friends, I found that you can read God's word and you can put it in your mind. And David said, do that. He said to hide God's word in our heart that we might not sin against him, for sure. So intellectually, we can reason about Jesus and love him that way. But friends, do we really emotionally find ourselves attached to Jesus? Do we spend time with him? Do we spend time with God in prayer? Do we spend time talking to our Father in our solitary quiet times that we referred to in Bible class this morning a bit? It's one thing to know Jesus intellectually, another thing to actually know him because you talk to him so much that you have a connection with God through prayer that God wants us to, pleads for us to have with him. It's so important. Now, I also want to bring to light in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, that when it comes to this truth that we can know and do and obey, that we're told to kind of be masters of it. We're told to be able to rightly divide God's truth. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we're told to study God's word as workmen that need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. This tells me that something very important, that truth can be wrongly divided. And again, in our world today, can truth be wrongly divided? Can people mismanage truth? Yeah, like we talked about before, when it comes to politics or even saying, what's a woman or what's a man? People can take that and not really know how to manage it properly. And part of the problem is when it comes to subjects like our in our day, this confusion about what a man or woman is, our kids, the young ones, are growing up in a world where that's being talked about like we can't really be sure of it. The very nature of our biology is challenged by the fact that we really can't know anything about anything. It causes confusion. What do sane people do? They don't do like Pilate and say, what is truth? They try and figure out for real what truth is. Not that it can't be known, but that it can be known. And what? How do I come to the bottom line of what truth actually is? How can I know, example, what Jesus actually taught? How can I rightly divide God's truth? Because Paul told Timothy, it can be wrongly divided, so how can I rightly divide it? How can I know how to worship? How can I know how to teach? How can I know the plan of salvation? How can I know how to live in this world, which is sometimes so hard when it comes to truth? I just have to apply what God said to people's lives and my life first of all. It's easy, you see, to see faults in other people. I heard someone say recently when it comes to confession, he goes, you know, I have no problem in confessing other people's sins. It's my sins I have a problem with. Even then, publicly, it's hard sometimes to say, listen, I've done wrong. I need to do better on these things that are a problem in my life. Other people's sins, I can confess them all day long. But mine is hard to reconcile with. What allows that? Trying to be one with truth. Trying to see ourselves as we really are. James talks about the perfect law of liberty in James chapter 1. The idea that we can look into a mirror and see ourselves as we truly are. That's such a blessing. Friends, I tell you what. I can see me as God sees me through the wonderful worth of his word. One of the things I sometimes find myself clicking on the internet are pictures of deep space, of the Hubble Space Telescope. Get some really amazing NASA pictures of what things look like out there beyond our Earth. It's very amazing. Galaxies and faraway stars and objects in the universe. To be able to see that far from Earth and see how God made some things and see some beauty of them, and sometimes the blankness or horror of them. But some of those pictures of the Hubble Space Telescope are actually very amazing. To see the universe that way, beyond what we can see with our physical eyes, is just sometimes mind-blowing. And we can see other solar systems, and we can see other galaxies out there. But the millions of stars, and we can see them through these man-made devices. But where I'm going with this, you know where I'm going, right? The Bible allows me to see not outward, but inward. Seeing outward is good. It's fun. It's sometimes needful. But seeing inward is oh so more important. God allows us to pull back the veil a bit and see us as we truly are, not who we think we tell ourselves we are, but who we truly are and who God is and how God sees us. That telescope is worth looking at. And that truth is worth trying to spend time with, trying to get to know. Wasn't too long ago, I guess it's getting long ago now, but Jack Nicklaus, you know, the very famous golfer from yesteryear, was once told by someone who's interviewing him, he says, "You are amazing." He goes, "No one knows their way around a golf course like you. What's your secret?" He kind of looked down and said, "Well, the holes are numbered." Now, it was an amazing talent for sure. But he made a point there, at least maybe he wasn't trying to, but what you can take from that is the fact is, listen, we all want to be more than we are. How do you get that done? The holes are numbered. We come to worship. We enjoy each other's company. We apply truth. We try and help each other a lot. We help each other be better. We can all look at each other's lives and say, "Oh, well, but they could do better here, here, here." We can confess other people's sins, but again, not our own very well. But we should ask ourselves, how can I grow by the numbers? How can I encourage other people to be more of what God wants them to be? To help them grow and go to heaven, we just have to follow the numbers. Follow the numbers. Love truth. Love God. Look at Jesus as the way. And put our lives together one hole at a time so that one day we can look back and say, look where I am, look where I was, and look where God still wants me to be. Friends, we can do all things through Christ Jesus. We can love him and serve him. We can overcome the world. In fact, the book of Revelation, that's what John the writer says by inspiration, that we can overcome. He that overcomes the world can come over into glory, and we can have right to the tree of life again, he says. That tree of life that was lost to us in Eden because of the first Adam. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, makes to where we can be in that garden again, at least in heaven, and we can have access to the tree of life, what Jesus offers us, if we can simply overcome through him. But that's the key. Can we overcome through Jesus? We can't do it ourselves. Well, we'll fail every time. But through Jesus, can we overcome and serve him as we should? We can. Friends, this morning, if there's someone that needs to ask for the prayers of the church or obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, we haven't talked this morning about the gospel invitation very much, but simply, very, very, very simply this, that if we believe in Jesus Christ as God's Son, if you believe that with all your heart, we can come forward. You can confess him as your Lord this very day. This Lord, the Master of your life, that you will put him first in your life. That Lord who you believe in will confess, You can repent of your sin and say, listen, I want to follow Jesus. I want to repent of my sin. And you can be baptized into Christ this morning. You get this now. To be added to the church, his body. For remission of sins, Acts 2:38. To be saved, Mark 16:16. Be part of the bride of Christ, be part of the church family. And friends, you can have your sins washed away, and you can be one of those who is now of the family of God. So I don't know your heart or your need this morning. We all have needs. We all have things that we are tugging our heartstrings. But if you have a need for the prayers of the church, or if you have a need to be restored, coming back to being faithful to God, being faithful unto death, Revelation 2:10, come back to truth. If you need to be baptized into Christ this morning, please come as we stand and sing this hymn.